Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In the first segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Scott Randall from Sprout. So, can you tell me a little bit about the work of Sprout?
Yeah, so Sprout was founded in 1979 by our executive director, Mr. Anthony DeSalvo. He recognized that individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities really didn't have an opportunity to pursue travel endeavors and have an opportunity to go on vacation. And so he started the Sprout organization in New York City in 1979, specifically with the purpose of providing travel and recreational opportunities for persons within the New York City area to go on vacation and also do day and evening recreation trips in New York City. And then as the years went on, the organization expanded, the travel program became larger, and we started working with more individuals, not from just the New York City metropolitan area, but with people from all over the country. Our local recreation programs here in New York City also began to expand, and we received additional contracts from the state of New York in which we were able to provide support to individuals with disabilities and marginalized neighborhoods. And then from there, back in 2003, starting in the mid-80s and early 90s, Anthony started the very first Make a Movie program for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So that was a project in which once or twice a year he would put a group of individuals that are part of our constituency together to create a movie. And from there, after the movie was finished, he realized that there really wasn't a venue or a forum for the movies to be shown. So that's when Sprout started its annual film festival here in New York in 2003. And then, so that's an annual event that's been held in New York every year since then, except for this past year in 2016, it went on hiatus. And then starting back in like 2010, 2011, various entities from across the country and around the world started contacting Sprout, saying, you know, the film festival is a really great event. We can't make it to New York. Is there any way that you can bring it to us? So then that's when Sprout started the touring film festival. And so that's one of our programs in which we actually can bring our archive of films for, by, and about individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities to their venue. So schools, universities, social service organizations, et cetera, can get in touch with us and do that. So yeah, that's pretty much a synopsis of Sprout.
So in terms of the film festival, is there any entry that's ever stood out for you?
As far as the film aspect of Sprout is concerned, I don't have a lot of participation within that aspect of things. Essentially, what happens with the film program is that there's an annual call of entries, And so individuals submit their film projects, and then there is a committee that is comprised of various people that are constituents of Sprout. That would be participants, family members, staff, members of the community, et cetera. And they essentially decide whether or not the film would be appropriate for our film festival, but also taking it out on the road for Sprout Touring Film Festival events. One of the things that is unique about the Sprout Film Festival is we stipulate that no one without some sort of a disability is able to portray an individual with a disability. So, for example, Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man, that's an actor without a disability playing a person with a disability, and we would not accept that into our film festival. We feel that there are plenty of individuals with a disability that are actors and should be represented. And we really strive for that. As far as films that stick out for me, I mean, I've seen the vast majority of the film, but again, I don't have my hand in that program as much as the other operations. So I can't say specifically any film that really...
So, in your time with Sprout, have there been any challenges that you've seen with the work itself? Hello. So, in your time with Sprout, have there been any challenges that you've seen with the work of supporting individuals with disabilities?
Oh, absolutely. So, I started working with Sprout in 1998 as the New York City program coordinator, and then transitioned to the Sprout program director. I'm actually left the organization a couple of times, but have come back. And now as the director of operations, cumulatively, I have just shy of almost 20 years experience working with Sprouts. And yes, lots of challenges. I would say the biggest challenge is funding, financial support for the organization, especially the arts programs, the film programs. They're very expensive to operate, and it's very difficult to get funding. It's very competitive, and so that's been a big challenge for the organization. And as far as our travel and recreation programs, that, again, I would have to say cost has definitely been a challenge, especially after 9/11. After 9/11, insurance rates really skyrocketed, and insurance companies, basically the rates, doubled and tripled, and liability insurance really became a big issue.
My friends, it really is in how you look at it. Opportunities may have been curtailed by the insurance problem. However, opportunities still exist. For individuals with disabilities, any determined group will say, we're not going to let a global tragedy defeat us. We're going to find a way to rebuild and recover, because individuals with disabilities still have the same rights to travel, recreation, all the things that make life worth living. And the truth is, we can't be always just thinking about the money, how expensive it'll be create such an opportunity. If you look at it, an individual with a disability would gain something from that so much more meaningful. Gaining an experience, a chance to live, to experience freedom and enjoyment, maybe for the very first time. And you can't put a price tag on that. However, what Scott mentioned about the film festival, I think that's really remarkable. It sends a message to the community that it really has to be nothing about us without us. A person with a disability can portray a person with a disability. A long time ago, I had past guest, Stephanie Craig, talking about how it is that a person without a disability portrays someone with it, and someone with a disability portraying someone without one. Fact is, I don't view either one as necessarily fair to the other side. Because, really, it's honesty. A person with a disability has nothing to be ashamed of. It is not something they should run from or hide. Even if their profession is acting, if they're up there and they're doing their thing, they're just wanting to be a part of theater, they should not be asked to hide who and what they are. But really, giving an equal playing field to all these contestants, individuals with disabilities coming in, creating something, not just for themselves, but for the greater community. But it's something that cannot be underestimated. To an audience member looking at this and saying, someone with a disability created this, maybe they have the same potentials, same talents as anyone else in society. It's breaking down walls, breaking barriers. That's what it's all about, folks. Planting that seed of understanding. Understanding that these are intelligent, capable people. That seed continues to grow. Once your eyes have been opened to the idea of equality, I don't think they ever get shut again. Once prejudice is overcome, it loses its power. It becomes simply, what was I thinking with that? But once you realize that notions like assumptions about disability life or prejudices simply have no place in the modern world, you start to embrace equality, diversity. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages.
Have you ever thought about volunteering with CJAM FM? Why haven't you? Volunteering isn't limited to students. Anyone from the community can come into the station and start their very own program. All you need are a pair of headphones and the enthusiasm to learn. So get involved right here in your community with a topical spoken word show or music program where you choose the content. Email programcjam@gmail.com or come on down to the station. We're located on the University of Windsor campus in the basement of the CAW Student Center. Find out more information about how you can volunteer at cjam.ca.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Scott Randall from Sprout. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Sarah Noradine, a student at the University of Windsor who has some great ideas about accessibility upgrades. So, what can you tell me about what your hopes are here at the U?
Well, Cam, I want to remove all barriers to access that students have, you know, barriers that keep them from having a full university experience, whether that includes improving on student disability services or even just providing female hygiene products in the bathrooms, because that's a whole other access issue.
So what have you found to be the most common barriers here?
I think personally, and from the conversations I've been having with students, a lot of the barriers come from accommodations, students not able to get their accommodations and having difficulty with that process.
What do you think the long-term impact of that is in terms of if you don't get a quality education, mm-hmm. you can't expect a quality job mm-hmm. and so on and so forth?
Well, that, obviously, if you can't get a quality education, if you can't get your accommodations and you can't have a quality education and a quality time at university, that, you know, lowers your chances of doing well in school because you have to balance both your academics and all the other barriers that you're that you've encountered, and I think from that, you know, it translates into, well, am I going to get into grad school, or am I going to get into another post-secondary program, or, you know, am I going to find a good job? And it creates an anxiety that keeps students from, you know, pursuing their goals and pursuing a higher level of education or a high or a better job or something.
Well, in this way, what people need to understand first and foremost is accommodations aren't about giving an unfair advantage.
Of course, yeah.
They're simply about making a level playing field, equal opportunity.
Yep, and I think that's where equity comes in, you know, the discussion between the argument between equality versus equity, and making sure that students all have the same opportunities and can all do as best as they can.
So, do you see any positives? Are we making any kind of real progress in this sense?
I think the university in particular, students have advocated a lot. I see a lot of advocates for mental health, you know, improving on our mental health resources, but not so much with physical disabilities. I know our school is supposed to be accessible, but a lot of our buildings are not accessible. The other day I heard someone bring up a very good point where in the education building, to get into the room, to get into the building if you are in a wheelchair, you would need to go through the loading dock. And how is anyone supposed to feel equal if they have to use, you know, different doors or the back door or a door that's not even supposed to be used by students?
That brings up a good point. However, in some cases, what a school might look at cost-wise is what legally has to be in place.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an access? Yes, there is.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the kind of access we would hope for? Perhaps not.
Mm-hmm. For sure, yeah. I think a lot of the issues come from the university not wanting to spend a lot of money on access. And I think, you know, that's something we really need to push for, because if we want our campus to be progressive and equal and inclusive, we need to make those strides to make it progressive and equal and inclusive.
Well, the university itself is taking some steps to this end, things like Accessibility Awareness Day, and there are certainly access points
are
well-balanced and on point. How would you go about making these changes?
Personally, I think on a personal level, a lot of my access issues come from more mental health resources. So I do want to start by expanding on disability services and making it a little more accommodating to students, you know, having our voices, you know, heard in that capacity, and just improving on the student voice in disability services as opposed to having it be very administrative. Other than that, I think a lot of it is just a matter of lobbying the university and, you know, demanding the change.
Do you believe we can move forward, that we really can make these upgrades?
I do think so. I think our campus has done a lot better than other schools in a lot of different aspects, so I do think it's a possibility, yes. I am hopeful.
So, if you could send any message to the community about the need for equal access, what would you say?
I'd say, you know, we all are entitled to the same opportunities. And just because somebody is differently abled, that shouldn't keep them from having the same experiences that able-bodied students have, or individuals in general.
So, have you partnered alongside anyone at the U who might be able to help with these issues?
I've not, not for physical disabilities at least, but a lot of mental health issues. I have partnered with some programs. I'm currently the Women's Center coordinator, so we do advocate for a lot of mental health resources. But for physical disabilities, that's something I do want to work on more and making those connections.
So right now, if you could see any one thing added in terms of upgrades, mm-hmm. what would it be?
I think an easier accommodation process, one that doesn't create anxieties or create barriers for students, just improving on the process as well as adding, you know, more resources for that, maybe having a bigger office or, you know, or expanding on that office.
So in other words, make the process inviting.
Yes, there we go. Yeah,
just let the students know that it's not there to stigmatize them,
yes,
it's there
exactly.
to be a source
exactly.
of support.
Definitely need to work on removing the stigma around disabilities.
It's funny you mentioned things like mental health. Mm-hmm. I find it frankly unbelievable that we're living in the times we are and we still are creating that sort of barrier.
Yeah.
Oh, you feel a little differently about things, can't include you. Oh, mm-hmm. you see the world a little differently, can't include you.
Yes, exactly. It's ridiculous. It's something that can very easily be those barriers can very easily be avoided. And yet, you know, we don't see that happening.
It's what I call the impossible standard.
Mm-hmm.
You find one
sure.
reason not to support someone,
yep.
and then it's easier to find another. And before you know it, we're back in the Middle Ages.
Mm-hmm. And I think especially for invisible, you know, disabilities like mental health illnesses or mental health issues, the process is twice as hard because
it's not something anyone can rightly identify
exactly,
with.
Exactly. So even like a doctor's note or a diagnosis sometimes isn't even enough. So
well, you got to figure there are any number of orphan conditions out there that
mm-hmm.
the medical profession still has to sort of get acquainted with.
Yeah.
So if it's something along those lines, it can be a little more difficult.
Yep.
That being said, I have seen here at the U, there are a lot of positives, a lot of good things.
Yes, for sure.
But, well, honestly, we just have to keep moving forward,
yep.
I think.
I think we've done good. There's always room for improvement, so we should just keep on improving.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. Sarah was quite correct that there is a certain measure of fear in terms of seeking accommodations, seeking the right help. But the fact is, a person with a disability can't shortchange themselves simply based on fear. If you shortchange yourself in education and you say, it's easier just to go in there without the proper tools, the proper accommodations, you're only hurting yourself in the end. And down the line, this sort of attitude might come into play with something like, do I want to get out there as a person with a disability, find a job, be a part of the community, or do I want to go right to the option of applying for welfare? Do I want to be a productive, contributing member of society? Do I want to ask for the rights that should be given to any human being? Everyone has it within themselves to contribute something. Everyone should be given the opportunity to try. Education might seem like the immediate situation, but it affects everything a person will be shaped to become. What you learn in a place like the university is not just about statistics or tort reform or what have you. It's really what you learn about others. Diversity. And you learn about those ideals of equality. Strength. What can really be made possible? By providing accommodations, providing services, the university is sending a message that says, we want to be inclusive. We want to be an open and welcoming place for everyone. And that is true. But really, the strength that a person learns can be carried with them their whole life. Why must it be that education simply stops when they hand you your degree? Is it more a matter of, can you take something in from each day? Can you become a little stronger, a little wiser? But yeah, accommodations, better work opportunities, better athletic opportunities, better travel opportunities, they all start from one place, folks. Believing in oneself and believing that there is potential to make things happen. If you say to yourself, the world is hopeless and I'm scared, yeah, you're going to settle for the welfare option. You're going to muddle through educationally because you're not going to ask for those things that you have every right to ask for. You're not going to say, I believe there's a better world, a better opportunity to be created. How can you know something won't work until you try it? Until you ask for that accommodation, until you apply for that job, until you go out there and play in that sport? How can you possibly know that a better world exists if you don't want to go out and look for one? The university has policies and ideals that are there to protect students with disabilities. It is not a matter of unfair advantage or singling anybody out. It is a matter of giving them the tools they need to succeed. Can there be steps taken? Of course. But that's everywhere. No organization, no institution, anywhere has it down to a perfect science. Nobody ever has a complete consensus on what equality means. You might have this, this, and this accommodation, but somebody's going to say, yeah, but you overlooked something like that. And you're never going to be 100% on that. Does that mean you don't try? Does that mean you throw in the towel and say it's too hard? Or does that mean that you take the initiative, that you say, we should cover as many bases as we possibly can? It might be difficult, might be a one-time expense, but in the end, it is entirely worth it. Creating for the future of people with disabilities is definitely a worthwhile investment. We have no right as a people to say to any segment of our population, regardless of disability, age, ethnic background, sexual orientation, we have no right to say to any of them that you are going to be excluded. And, by that same token, no person coming in and asking for equal rights has the right to say, I'm not going to ask for what's mine. I'm not going to ask for equality, because that sets a bad precedent. If anyone who deserves equal access doesn't ask for it, they don't get it. And it's that much easier for those in power to say to the next one, no, you're not entitled to this. We're not going to make this happen. The price of equality, folks, is constantly monitoring, making sure that rights, privileges, opportunities are being made, rights respected. And that falls to each one of us. It is not simply a matter of writing the check, writing the policy, sitting back and saying the next guy's responsible. It's not how the world works. Each of us can ask for our equal rights, and each of us can take it to as many authorities as we need to before we get an answer. But don't stop. And certainly don't underestimate yourself and your own abilities. Don't be a statistic that says this person is not living to all they should. Be equal. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have a good one, folks. Something tells me you've earned it. We'll see you next week.